Hey guys, Merry Christmas. Do you remember where you were on New Year's Eve of 2019 or who you were with? Do you remember what you were doing that night? Do you remember how you imagine that this next year might be? I know exactly where I was and I know exactly who I was with. I was with Lisa at home and in bed by 8:45 p.m. as per our New Year's Eve normal ritual to watch the New York ball drop at 9 p.m. because we are way too tired to try to stay awake and ring in the new year on the West Coast. And frankly, this was the case for us before children. And with children, we are lucky to make it to that 8:45 p.m., 9 p.m. ball drop. Lisa and I are truly a match made in heaven in every way. We both love to go to bed early, so I know exactly where I was and I know who I was with. But honestly, though, this year has been such a blur that I can't remember what I thought 2020 would be like. Whatever I thought 2020 might be like, I'm pretty confident when I say that I was wrong. Say amen in your house right now if you agree with me. I am sure I was optimistic, though, about the dawn of a new decade. I mean, how could the year 2020, in the most technologically advanced society in human history, not be at least as good as the ones prior? And then 2020 started to happen. News reports started popping up about this mysterious flu-like pneumonia that was ripping through parts of China. Entire cities and then whole regions were placed on lockdowns. And then it was in Italy. And then it was on the cruise ships. And then little cases started popping up in different pockets of the world all over the place. And then it was in New York. And before we knew it, this disease was everywhere. A global pandemic was ripping through our nation and the world, taking human lives and forcing all of us into an isolation that we had never experienced before. Most of us, we didn't see this thing lasting beyond the spring or certainly not again into the summer. And then it surged again in the fall. And that surge found steroids in the late month of November and in the early part of December. And so here we are, still waiting. Still holding on to the good memories of the old pre-mask days and hoping that things will get better soon. Now, some of you are sitting at home right now thinking to yourselves, man, Kyle, if I wanted to hear all this depressing stuff, I would have just turned on the news. I turned on the church to try to find some hope. Okay. I'm always trying to go somewhere good when I share a negative illustration, and I think I usually land there for the most part. So here's where I'm going. Never in most of our lifetimes have we seen the entire world long for deliverance from something quite as dramatically as what we're seeing today. Now, I know that the great generation who lived through World War II and other military conflicts like it, they endured far worse uncertainty for far longer than this, but that generation is few and far between these days. For the rest of us, 2020 has been the real doozy of our lifetimes. It's been a history maker for sure. And in the midst of it, there have been these inspiring stories about nurses, doctors, and frontline workers who have risked everything so the rest of us can be safe. And if you're one of those and you're watching this right now, we just want to say thank you to you. We have learned the value of small things at home rather than big activities out and about. People got really good at baking in 2020. And who would have thought that there would be a black market value for toilet paper? But here we are. So it's been a hard year, but there's also been a lot of good that's come in all of our lives. But deep down, this world that we live in is waiting for something. We are waiting for a shot of hope. And my message title today is A Shot of Hope. This sermon, A Shot of Hope, was approved by the FDA at warp speed and endorsed by Pfizer and Moderna. I know some of you refuse to receive my message today and you want to argue that it's the mark of the beast. To you, I say, okay, go ahead, give me your best shot. Okay, I'm kidding, of course. The beauty of having no audience is I have no idea if my jokes are landing in your homes or not. I'll just assume it's not. So, okay, we'll move on. The point is this. We've all learned what it means to long for something and to wait for something and to hope for something in a way that we probably never have before. So now let me get to Christmas. I believe the events of 2020 have given us all a unique emotional glimpse into the world that Jesus was born into. We've heard and we've read the Christmas stories most of our lives. We've seen the nativity scenes in the yards and in the malls. I'm just not quite sure that we've experienced anything like this past year to help us feel what the world might have felt as it awaited the hope of the Messiah. You know, waiting for hope to come makes me think about that song, O Come, Emmanuel. Every year, we either sing that song here in this church or I hear it on the radio somewhere, and the words simply say, O Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And the second verse says, O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Isn't that a little bit like what we're praying for the Lord to do this Christmas? Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight? I think it's pretty close. It's the best depiction of the emotional reality of this world of Israel that they would have felt as they awaited their Savior, Jesus, their shot of hope. So I want to encourage you in your home right now on Christmas or whenever you happen to be watching this to open your Bible to the book of Luke chapter 2. And we're going to hone in on kind of the classic Christmas story that's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And we're going to look at what happened 2,000 years ago when an angel of the Lord announced that God was sending Jesus, the shot of hope, into the world. And so we're going to pray together, and then we're going to read these verses. So if you would bow your head and your heart with me in your home right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our shot of hope. And we pray today that we would take our eyes off of the pain of our world, even if for just a moment, and to place them upon you as we remember the events surrounding your birth. May we tune our lives into the reality of what you did for us 2,000 years ago and what you want to continue to do in our lives today. Open our eyes to see what you want us to see from your word. Open our ears to hear what you want us to hear from it. And open our hearts today that we would respond and become the disciples you want us to be as a result of having read it and studied it together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to read Luke 2, 8 through 20. It says this, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." Let me unpack the original account of the world's shot of hope. You know, what started out as a plain old day ended up anything but normal. An angel of the Lord appeared to this ordinary group of shepherds doing their work out in the fields. And before the shepherds experienced the joy of this angelic announcement, their presence of these angels just absolutely terrified them. You know, anytime something drastically new happens to us human beings, we tend to feel uneasy about it at best. We're not very good at change, and we don't often embrace new things very well. But anytime an angel visits a human being in Scripture, they almost always, the human being, that is, flip a lid. I mean, they just freak out. And so the first thing the angel almost always has to say when they deal with the human is, "Fear not." Once the shepherds like calmed the people down, the angel of the Lord told them that something amazing was about to happen in the city of David, which everyone knew meant Bethlehem. A baby boy was about to be born. Now, the birth of any baby is always good news, but the birth of this baby was different. This wasn't just a baby about to be born. This was Christ, the Lord, the Savior of the world. Good news of great joy for all people was coming into the world, and they heard it first. The long-awaited Messiah was coming. And once the shepherds realized what was going on, they knew they had to go to Bethlehem to see this for themselves. I've often wondered what those shepherds thought they were going to do or what they thought they were going to find when they got to Bethlehem. You know, maybe one of the shepherds looked at the other one and was like, hey guys, I got a plan. We're going to go to Bethlehem and we're going to literally knock on every door until we find a woman who just gave birth in a barn. It sounds kind of nutty if you think about it. I mean, if I went door to door looking for a woman who had just given birth in a barn, I'm pretty sure someone might call the cops. But as crazy as it sounded, running to Bethlehem to see what this was all about was actually the most obedient choice that these shepherds ever could have made. Everything happened exactly the way that the angel of the Lord said it would, and everyone who heard it wondered what it meant. Mary, she just treasured all this stuff up in her heart and thought about it. And the shepherds returned praising and glorifying God for all that they had seen and heard. Jesus was the original shot of hope into the world, and he still is today. I want to tell you four things that'll happen if you choose to take your shot of hope. And I'm not speaking about a vaccine, in case anyone's wondering. I'm speaking about choosing to see and to believe in the hope of the Lord. Maybe for some of you, maybe to choose to do that yet again in a new way in your life in Christmas of 2020. The first thing I'd love for you to jot down if you want to do it is this. Jesus' shot of hope neutralizes the disease called negativity in the long run, and it makes it less severe in the short run. You know, these new vaccines coming out are said to almost completely eradicate severe COVID. That's what we're all hoping to see happen. They won't necessarily prevent everyone from being infected, but they'll prevent the disease from taking deep root in a way that takes human lives anymore. Well, Jesus's shot of hope offers full neutralizing antibodies against the disease called negativity in the long run. That means that the hope of Jesus can kill any negativity right on sight. At the cross, Jesus defeated sin and death once and for all so that everyone and anyone who would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And that's pretty profound. But until heaven, negativity is always going to be around us. And so Jesus' shot of hope gives us a way out of a negative cycle. And Jesus' shot of hope is the only thing that can truly lessen the severity of the negativity of this world. So, if negativity temporarily takes root in our lives and in our hearts, Jesus' shot of hope promises that it doesn't have to be severe. Jesus will show us the way to hope in the midst of the negativity of this world. So how does the Lord lessen the severe negativity that is around the believer? Well, in lots of ways. One simple way that the Lord does this is to remind us that with God, anything is possible. Guys, real hope will change your life. Real hope is what changed the shepherds' lives. And real hope, it starts in a moment in time, but the process of hope transforming our hearts can take a period of time. You know, we can't always snap our fingers and make all of our negative thoughts just go away. I wish it worked like that, but it doesn't. Rewiring old thought patterns into positive ones is something that can be a lifelong process for us. Sometimes we get too discouraged too quickly because we don't see results fast enough. I think hope is like a seed that gets planted in the ground. It takes time for it to grow. There are also a lot of elements that are needed to make sure that it does, in fact, grow. The soil has to be right. That soil has to be watered and maintained. The roots have to grow down. The plant has to grow up. And then it has to be protected, and it's got to be pruned. You know, the process goes on and on and on for the entire life of the plant. Well, hope is like that too. Hope starts with this tiny seed that gets planted in a person's heart that has the potential to change their negative thought patterns in profound ways. But it takes time to fully root out that negativity. Maybe on this side of heaven, we're always fighting the disease of negativity, but Jesus' shot of hope offers a path to less and less severe disease. And slowly but surely, we start to get better at nurturing the hope that's inside of us despite the negativity that's around us. Over the course of our lives, the hope begins to crush the negativity that we feel. In the case of becoming a Christian, what happens is a huge seed gets planted at salvation, and then that seed has to be nurtured. It's got to be maintained. It's got to be watered regularly. It's got to be pruned. Now, why am I saying all of this? Because if you don't feel hopeful today, take a breather. Seeds of hope take time to grow. Nurture the hope that's in your heart. If you've accepted Jesus, God will always offer you a path out of severe disease of negativity and into hope. Look for those incremental improvements. And when you get a glimpse of even the smallest amount of progress, you'll start realizing and you'll start remembering that with God, anything is possible. I was reading about a counselor this week who has had great success in working with deeply troubled marriages. And he shared his secret to helping them. And he said this. He said, I just try to get 10% improvement. When couples get that 10% improvement, they get hope. And when someone gets hope, anything is possible. Guys, think about it. Hope is so potent and so powerful that you don't need to get to 50% more hopeful or even 40% or even 25%. Just 10% more hope for whatever your situation is that you're going through will launch you into a new and better orbit. It's enough to help us remember that with God, all things are possible. I think of the lyric of the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, that says, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. In this tiny baby, a shot of hope was about to transform the entire known world. Jesus' shot of hope is still transforming human hearts today. Jesus' shot of hope is still the most powerful force in the world. And some, sadly many, will see Jesus' shot of hope and decide not to take it. It happened in Jesus' day. It continues to happen today. Jesus didn't fit the picture that somebody was looking for. And so folks realize that Jesus doesn't just want a prayer, that he actually wants their worship and their obedience. And they say, no thanks. I'd rather stay in charge. You know, many today will throw away their shot of hope, which only Jesus offers. I believe that 2021 stands a reasonable chance of offering us a fresh shot of hope. You know, there's a song in Hamilton where Hamilton says, I'm not throwing away my shot. And you got to watch the musical to kind of know what it's all about. But he had a single shot loaded in his gun. And the whole musical was built around this promise that he wasn't going to throw it away. And Hamilton decided that he wanted to make his one shot at life count. And he did. Guys, we have this one shot at this thing called life. We need to make it count. Only God can give us the fresh shot of hope that we need to find to discover meaning in the midst of it. And I believe that God is offering us all a fresh shot of hope. So let me ask you a question. What are you not going to take for granted in 2021? Which relationships have you realized are too important to ignore? How are you going to take everything that you've learned in 2020 and flip the script to make your 2021 better and less bitter? I don't know about you, but I want to start 2021 with hope. And it might take all of us a little bit to get to that 10% increase in our hope quotient, and I'm okay with that. If it's 1% per day or even 0.5% per day, that gives me a trajectory to say, you know, in 10 or 20 days, I'm going to feel more hopeful than I do today. And then when I get to that 10% mark, I'm going to start realizing and remembering that with God, anything is possible. And if we get 10% more hopeful, we're going to start thinking less about the what we're worried about. And we're going to start thinking more about what's possible if we continue with the Lord in that way of thinking. And if we can get to 20% more hopeful, man, that's going to feel phenomenal. So Jesus and his shot of hope, it promises that we can have more hope in this world. Here's another thing I'd love for you to jot down. Jesus' shot of hope promises peace in exchange for praise. In Luke 2:14, the angels and the multitude of the heavenly hosts said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. The old King James Version has that kind of more Christmassy ring to it where it says, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now, of course, that version sounds nicer to think that God offers peace and goodwill to all men. And God does, 100%. But the translation that we read here on a regular basis is called the English Standard Version. And even though the English Standard Version's translation reads a little more rough, I think it actually reads more right. See, peace is only a promise to those who take their shot of hope. So how do we take our daily shot of hope? By praising and obeying God. It's what the Bible calls obedience. You know, the level of peace that we experience is directly connected to the depth of our praise and our obedience. Jesus brought peace into the world, but it's truly up to us whether or not we actually experience it. And the depth of our hope can be directly measured to the depth of our trust and our obedience. No one can say for sure, but hope certainly seems at least plausible that these vaccines should prove to be helpful. And so we do have some hope on the one hand that from an earthly perspective, things are going to get better. But the darkest days of the pandemic are still upon us, and many more may yet remain ahead of us. And God willing, things will get better, but what we're experiencing right now is really the worst of the worst. And in the midst of the uncertainty, peace can feel in short supply. Peace in trying times, though, is one of the Christmas promises to everyone who puts their life in God's hands. Jesus says, I'll give you peace as you give me praise. And may we all choose to obey and praise the Lord through the uncertainty that we've been dealing with. May we all continue to trust him with our lives. And in this blessed exchange, Jesus promises peace. Here's another thing I'd like you to write down about Jesus' shot of hope. Only Jesus' shot of hope can fill the hole in our hearts, now and always. You know, the words hope and hole are only different by one letter, and yet their meanings are completely different. One conveys this sense of emptiness, and the other conveys this sense of fullness. And right now, many of us are feeling that sense of emptiness. We're not physically together. We can't touch each other. And when we do interact, it's behind a screen or behind a mask, or if neither of those are present, there's an element of risk. And all those options reinforce one reality, the hole in our hearts. You know, Luke 2:19 tells us that Mary's solution to the hole in her heart was to treasure up and ponder everything she knew about Jesus in her heart. Today, Jesus still offers hope despite that hole in our hearts. It comes when we treasure up the things of the Lord. We treasure who he is. We treasure what he's done. We treasure what he's given us. We treasure each other. We ponder the goodness of the Lord. Jesus is the only one who can fill the hole that COVID has left in all of our hearts, now and always. Jesus is the hole filler, and he's the hope giver. And as we ponder the goodness of God, Jesus is the one who gives us strength to get through what we're going through. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus' shot of hope promises that we will grow through what we are going through, and we will be stronger at the end of it. You know, sometimes I find myself being unintentionally prophetic, and it's usually in a weird way, not in a way that I would like to happen. But just over a year ago, on December 19th of 2019, I found something on my Facebook and Instagram profiles that I had been thinking about, and it was a little line that God put on my heart, and I just put it out there. And I wrote this. I said, I'm going to get through this, and I'll be stronger at the end of it. And then in the comments, I reference Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And I honestly don't remember what prompted me to think about that or to write those words, but I know who did. I know God did. I just don't really remember what circumstances brought it about. But that being the case, God boomeranged my own words back to me via Facebook memories of all things to speak directly to me and to speak directly, I think, to what we're all dealing with right now. And so I want everyone in your homes right now to say this out loud together. I'm going to get through this. Okay, go ahead, say it. I'm going to get through this. And now here's the second part. And I'll be stronger at the end of it. So we'll say the whole thing together. I'm going to get through this, and I'll be stronger at the end of it. See, I'm going to grow through what I'm going through. Only Jesus' hope can give us that perseverance and the endurance that we're all going to need to get to the other side of this thing. You know, it's one thing to get through something challenging, but God wants us to do more than that. God wants us to persevere. God wants us to also understand the purpose of our perseverance. And the purpose of our perseverance is to build up our spiritual strength and our hope. See, God wants us to grow through what we're going through. And as we learn to trust God in deep waters, like in this past year, and all the things that we've dealt with and are continuing to deal with, we're going to catch a glimpse of the fact that hope isn't some mystical idea. The hope of the Lord is real. Hope is available today. Hope is a promise to everyone who walks with God. God sent this shot of hope into the world when he sent his son Jesus to live the life that we were meant to live, to suffer the punishment that we deserved, to die the death that we should have died, and to rise from the grave so that death itself would not have the final word on humanity anymore. Guys, there's a shot of hope coming into our world. It's not in a needle. It's not in limited supply for select populations only. It's here today. It's the old school shot of hope, the hope of Jesus Christ. And so I want to ask you, will you take the shot that Jesus is offering you today? Man, I need the shot of hope from Jesus in a fresh way for my own heart these days. And I believe wholeheartedly that Jesus will give you a glimpse and a reminder from God that anything is possible when you take that shot of hope. See, the hope of Jesus will offer you peace as you obey God through the trying months that we face ahead. And finally, Jesus's hope will help all of us find the purpose in our perseverance. We will grow through what we're going through, and we will be stronger at the end of it. And so I think of the words of the angel who said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Would you pray with me? Jesus, you are our hope. And so we turn to you today and we thank you that you are the hope of the world. And we pray, Lord, that all of us watching this right now would get a fresh glimpse of hope for our lives. And I pray that you'd give us the ability to take our eyes off of our circumstances and to put our eyes upon you, who you are, what you've done for us, and what you still have in store for us, your good plans for us, for every person watching this, and help us to find hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're watching this right now and you were to pass away today, you genuinely don't know if you'd go to heaven when you die. I believe with all my heart that God promises to do four things for you should you choose to make Jesus the Lord of your life right now. He will forgive you of your sins. He'll adopt you into his family. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit, and he'll give you an eternal life that's beyond anything you could ever hope for, dream, or imagine. There's just one catch. Jesus wants the steering wheel of your heart. And so if that's you today and you've been window shopping God and the Bible and the claims of Christianity, I want to give you a chance right now to become a Christian. It isn't mystical. It isn't magical. It's a simple prayer that you can pray right now wherever you are. So pray this with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and the sins of the world. I believe you died there, and I believe you rose from the grave so I could have everlasting life. Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, fill me with your Spirit, and give me the power to live this life for you. God, I'm tired of running. Here's the steering wheel of my heart. Would you take over? In Jesus' name I pray. All God's people say, amen.